This is New York Now.
All right. Well, it's Tuesday, and this is the second installment of the New York Now convention cast. I'm Casey Seiler, state editor of the Albany Times Union. I'm here with my colleague Karen DeWitt of New York State Public Radio. And we're very happy to sit down with one of the day's key players, Representative Chris Collins of Erie County out around Buffalo. We have already learned something new today, which is you were born in Burnt Hills in the beautiful Capital Region where we both hail from.
Yeah. My dad was working for General Electric in Schenectady in the late 40s. I was born in 1950 in Burnt Hills, and certainly remember that well as I then traveled the GE circuit around the country. As what back in those days they said, if you're going to move up, you have to move out. And it doesn't matter whether you're running someplace that makes appliances or nuclear reactors. A business is a business. Now, they've since shifted that kind of mindset. But, you know, my seven kids in the family, we got traipsed around from New York to New Hampshire to Connecticut to North Carolina. As ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. They always had to build a five-bedroom house to house us all.
And, and that was something I learned, too, because I'm also a GE brat. My father worked for GE, and actually we ended up in Burnt Hills where I went to high school. So we have two cities in common that we lived in at different times because I lived in Tonawanda as a small child, and I have a lot of Western New York relatives.
Well, it's interesting. You know, just to go sidetrack here, when I graduated as an engineer from North Carolina State, because when I was in high school, that was the North Carolina GE outdoor lighting plant. They then moved to New Hampshire. I didn't go. They rented me an apartment, and I actually finished as a 17-year-old living on my own my senior year in high school. I said, and there were five kids younger than me, and they're like, okay, fine, we'll just leave one behind. We can do a four-bedroom.
They probably didn't even miss you, right?
Well, I won't say that, but anyway.
Where's Chris?
Yeah, okay, you know, with seven kids. So at any rate, I go to NC State, engineer. I graduate, and I had two job offers, one from General Electric, one from Westinghouse. And I said to my dad, one was to be an engineer at GE. The other was to be a sales engineer at Westinghouse. And I said, which one? You know, I'm very conflicted, very similar companies, very large, well-known corporations. And he said, Westinghouse. I said, why? He said, because the sales position is going to introduce you to more of the country, but also GE is such a strongly managed company with so much depth that if you want to elevate yourself quickly, go to work for Westinghouse, which doesn't have the same reputation, and you'll be a superstar at Westinghouse. I said, well, there you go. So that's how I ended up at Westinghouse in Alabama. And when they said to me, if you want to move up, we need to pick a place, and I said, well, a factory. They said, Pittsburgh or Buffalo. I said, send me to Buffalo, because in that point, my dad had left GE and was president of General Railway Signal Company in Rochester. I said, I'll reunite for a couple of years, be an hour away from my family, and that's how, A, I ended up at Westinghouse, B, I ended up in Buffalo at the same time my dad ended up in Rochester.
And then that's the important thing. You came back to upstate New York, which I guess you were going to be talking about in your speech tonight at the convention, which is coming tonight, right?
This is something of it's a classic case of burying the lead. You are, of course, on Tuesday night going to be offering one of two nominating speeches for Donald Trump. What exactly is your procedural role going to be in the convention this afternoon?
Well, exactly that. As we sit here right now and as at 5:30 tonight, Donald Trump is officially the presumptive nominee with what we all know is a majority of delegates pledged. But he's the presumptive nominee. Through the nomination and seconding process, which is not going to take a long time, maybe 15, 20 minutes, between 5:30 and 6, I'm at 6:05, 6:05, we will then take the roll call vote, and that'll take a couple of hours, delegation by delegation by delegation. And we're kind of hoping maybe New York is the one that actually takes him over 12:47. And 12:37, we'll see how that goes. But at the end of that, he is our nominee. So it's a very important night to then set the stage for then the next couple of nights, messaging to America, continuing to message to America, including tonight, because the nominating process will be over about 8 o'clock.
Do you expect it to go smoothly? Any problems from the anti-Trump forces?
We'll hear from anti-Trump forces. I'm sure when it gets to Colorado, we're not going to hear their delegates pledged to Mr. Trump. That's okay. He is our nominee. This first round of voting will go, I think, the way we would expect. And whether Mr. Trump ends up with 1,600, 1,700 delegates, it's going to be a really big number. But you'll hear after yesterday, you're probably going to hear some things certainly coming out of Colorado. That's okay.
But you're going to talk about Western New York specifically in your speech. You hope to bring that in, a message to the nation. What are you going to say?
Well, as I'm going to say, well, I may not say this. I'd say it now, though. I've chosen Western New York to be my home. Others who are born there, my wife was born there. Where do you live? Buffalo. You were born there. Yes. They would ask me that. I say, I am proud to say I'm from the Buffalo, Western New York area, but I have chosen that to be my home. I was not born there. I moved there, and I'm staying there, and I've raised my family there. You know, that's a pretty strong statement for people to say, well, but you're not from there. I go, but it is my home. I've been there a long time. And I will talk about the devastation of Western New York. When I came there with Westinghouse Electric, there were 14,000 workers in a factory that's now the parking lot of the airport, the parking lot. And those 14,000 workers were, if you use the 5 or 6 to 1 multiplier, when those jobs were lost, we lost 84,000 jobs. It's 84,000 middle-class families lost the breadwinner's job. So I think there's an example there of how our jobs were stolen by China and Mexico. We need to bring those jobs back, and the multiplier's there.
That's something that people have been talking about nationally, that what Trump is appealing to and that what a lot of people have missed early on in this election cycle is that he was appealing to disaffected workers who feel left behind by globalism, by global trade deals. Is that really something that you kind of exemplify, that Western New York support for Trump exemplifies?
Well, it's about time we put America first. It's about time we put American families first, and it's about time we had good jobs. And manufacturing the jobs, when you hear governors fighting with each other about who's got what job, it's always the manufacturing jobs because of the 6 to 1 multiplier. One manufacturing job ends up with 7 jobs, the multiplier. So when the company stole our jobs, whether it was China or Mexico, they stole our manufacturing jobs because for every job they stole, they created 6 more jobs in their country. That's the magic of manufacturing. And I will absolutely be talking about that. And as Mr. Trump's delivered the message, it's not a Republican, Democrat, independent message. It's in a message on America. So that's where he's transcending politics.
I want to ask you, you noted in your breakfast address to the Republican delegation, the state delegation, that you were the earliest sitting member of Congress to endorse Donald Trump. February 24th, I believe, was the date you mentioned. That means as well that you have been blocking and tackling for Trump for longer than anybody else in Congress. Now, needless to say, that means that you have probably caught a lot of flack for many of the controversial statements, the various sort of moments of agitation that have come up over the ensuing months until that second week in May when he really clinched the nomination. Was there ever a moment where you kind of woke up and saw the news cycle and thought, oh, man, how am I going to deal with this?
There were a couple of times on New Day with Chris Cuomo where I was hoping when he went to commercial break he didn't come back to me. And one time I was with Wolf Blitzer, and I said, please, 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 let me end on the first break. And he says, we're going to commercial, and we'll be back to continue this discussion with Representative Collins. I went, oh, my goodness.
What was the controversy of the day for that one, may I ask?
I don't know because there were so many controversies, which is okay. I handled them. I handled them all because
pain is hard to remember.
I keep coming back to the binary choice we have, the importance relative to the future of America, you know, and I'd go back to keep it, you know, secure the borders, bring our jobs back, defeat ISIS, make America great again. I would always come back to that message in saying, I'm confident when push comes to shove, you're going to see the greatest cabinet ever. And Mr. Trump is not deep diving issues right now. He's setting the stage, much like Ronald Reagan did, as the purpose we're going to get up in the morning. And let others, he's got his cabinet officials that are going to come forth with policy. Ultimately, he'll be the ultimate decision maker. But I said, let's not get hung up in the red herrings, the what he might have said 30 years ago. You know, he's throwing ideas out there. We're going to have a debate about them, and I know we're going to come up with the right decisions, which is kind of how to sort of – some of those were not easy conversations, but I got through them.
So you're saying we should overlook some of those comments that he makes? angered some people.
I think you need to keep everything in context of making America great again, putting America first, and look at his family. He's not a racist, as they would say. Look at his kids. You can't raise kids like that in a vacuum. That takes a strong parental guidance of an involved dad. So I hope America doesn't judge him by the liberal press, which will nuance every single solitary word. But look at the big picture. He's been a successful business guy. He's created tens of thousands of jobs. Hillary's only created one for her daughter. And then you look at his family, and I think that tells you what you need to know this is the individual that we need guiding us for the next 8 years in a very troubled world.
All right. Well, Representative Chris Collins, thanks very much for taking the time. You got a big day. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Yep, thank you all.